Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Jonathan Hutton with you. David Reed is the chairman of the board. Mary Frances Hoots, our production assistant, in studio with me. PK will be back around noon today. He'll check back in and finish the show with us with details from the Titans open locker room. We'll get the latest on who it looks like is going to practice, who's not. Dennis Kelly returned to practice yesterday. It was Tyler Meritz during the open portion of practice that took the first team reps. Taylor Lewan did not practice. We'll get the latest there from Paul coming up around noon today. We're going to have a discussion about goaltending for the Preds, the rotation between Pecorine and UC Saros. That's coming up around 11:30, where Reed and I don't know if we'll agree or not. We may come down where we're approaching the playoffs a bit differently at the goaltending position. We'll see. That's coming up at 11:30, and we'll welcome your phone calls on that. We kick off the hour, though, with Austin Price of VolQuest.com for our VolQuest report for the week. Tennessee and Auburn kickoff, 11 a.m. You can hear that game right here on the Vol Network, 104.5 The Zone. Austin Price of VolQuest.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless. Austin, how was the off week? How are you, man?
I'm doing great, Jonathan. I've got a need for Reed. I think that's what the hashtag
should be. Oh, that's excellent. Need for Reed may be better than Reed for host. We're trying to get him as the in-arena host for all Nashville Predators home games.
Let's make it happen. Get it trending, people.
Next up is Neyland Stadium. What do you think?
I thought we were putting Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow in charge of that.
You know, Chad is actually on campus today. I don't know if any recruits are visiting, but if that's the case, Pruitt may need to know that because Chad is giving a tour to his nephew on campus. Back at school.
Violations galore.
Austin, I fully admit that some things may be obvious or redundant here and what I'm going to get into, but based on how the season has started. But I want to just spitball some thoughts that I've had throughout the last couple of weeks and get your take on things right now. And I look at an Ole Miss score recently where they're putting up a boatload of points, and it was jarring to think that at no point, even against some bad opponents, that Tennessee has shown much explosion in their offense. How do they find those plays? Do those plays exist right now? Do coaches believe those explosive plays exist within the current framework of what they have to run versus the talent that they have?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, when I look at this offense, I think Ty Chandler is the only guy that can really present explosive plays. The receivers they have are more possession-type receivers. They're good players, don't get me wrong, but when you're talking about big-chunk plays, you know, outside of, you know, Josh Palmer, and he's still figuring out the game of football. He's not been playing very long. They don't have a lot of, deep threats on the offensive side of the ball because Jordan Murphy's not playing. I keep thinking he's going to see more and more action just because they need more speed on the field. Maybe that happens Saturday at Auburn. But when I look at this offense, there are just not many options when it comes to a guy that can be really dynamic with the football in his hands or stress the defense outside of Ty Chandler.
Do you feel like Tennessee has shown or established any sort of identity on offense yet this season? And can they?
Well, I think their identity is we're going to run it, and we're going to run it, and we're going to run it, and we're going to continue to force feed that idea whether we're running it well or not. They try to get downhill. More than anything, I think the biggest key Saturday against Auburn is not necessarily scoring points. I mean, obviously you got to score points to win. But it's extending drives and keeping your defense off the field. Even if you end up having to punt, if you can drive it 30 to 40 yards, pick up 2 to 3 first downs, and keep your defense off the field and allow them to rest, then I think it can change the dynamics of how Jeremy Pruitt calls the game, how the defense plays for a full 60 minutes. And so, when I look at this team offensively, they don't have to be – vastly different, but they've also got to be able to stay on the field when the offense has the ball, and that comes down to good play calling. It comes down to execution, and it comes down to players making plays. At some point, you know, you've got to have a guy or two step up, and whether that's on the offensive line, being able to protect Jared Garantano, whether that's Garantano not holding on to the ball a fraction too long and delivering some really crisp passes. And then it's also on the receivers to catch the football when he delivers it, because he's put balls on the money this year, and sometimes they've not held on to it.
You know, if you think of the coaching connections that Pruitt has with this staff, and specifically defensively, it's not anywhere close, or it's much better, I should say, than what Tyson Helton has connection-wise with the current offensive staff. What do you think he's learned about this coaching staff around him over those first five games?
Well, I think they're still feeling things out, you know. And when your Coach Pruitt talked about it yesterday, he called them great offensive minds. But you know, they've got to figure out what they want to be. And you know, I know we talked about how they kind of got an identity, and you know, their identity has been a kind of a team that wants to run the football early and run it often and try to get downhill. But I'm not sure that's what this offense is set up to be, because of the change in what they did a year ago. I think, you know, Tennessee's got to go with more of the quick passing game, you know, and really get the ball out of Garantano's hands fast. And you got an offensive line that can't protect, so how do you protect Jared Garantano? High percentage passes, short passes, and you kind of almost use that short passing game and quick passing game as an extension of your running game. And so I think when you look at the offensive staff, you've got, you know, guys that have all, you know, been a part of game planning before with Tyson Helton and Will Friend, you know, and right down the line. I think, though, they're trying to figure out how they work as a unit, because you're right, they have not worked out, you know, until this year, they've not worked before as a unit. Whereas Jeremy Pruitt had a bunch of guys, whether they had all worked together or not, they'd all worked with Jeremy. And ultimately, that's his show on defense. And so I think that goes a long way to allowing him to become more involved in the game planning and the individual periods. I think once they go to team periods, Jonathan, he focuses more back on the defense. But out there offensively, you know, in Indy periods, he's over there working with receivers or working with quarterbacks or working with the offensive line and just kind of overseeing some things. And I think his ability to trust the defensive staff allows him to do that.
Do you get the sense that Pruitt was in on offensive meetings during this off week from what you've heard? Like, for instance, who is the guy in the offensive meeting this past week saying, this is who and what we need to be right now? Is it Pruitt? Is it Helton? Is it someone else? Is it Will Friend? Who is that? Who is the alpha in the room saying, this is who we are and why we're doing it currently?
You know, honestly, if I was going off a pure personality dynamic, I would venture to say Will Friend's more the alpha than Tyson Helton, just based off of personality. But, you know, I think that may be one of the things holding this offense back, is who is the designated alpha if Jeremy Pruitt's not in the room. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's the designated alpha for the entire program, but, you know, when he is doing defensive things, you know, who's running the show on offense? I mean, one would think it would be Tyson Helton, and his paycheck right at $1.2 million a year should signify that. But, you know, he is more of a laid-back personality, whereas Will Friend's a little bit more fiery. So, I know they do things that, you know, Tyson did at USC. They also do things that Will Friend was accustomed to doing at Colorado State. So it's kind of a combination of the two. But I think that, first and foremost, they've got to find that one voice that everybody can listen to. And maybe that is Jeremy Pruitt. And maybe Jeremy Pruitt is more served off in meetings offensively than he has been to any point this year.
And comparing the defense to the offense right now and moving forward, Pruitt and the defense he's coaching, I don't see a lot of the training wheels approach in the coaching aspect of that side of the ball. Now, we also haven't seen really close games recently. So, I mean, that's the counter to what I'm about to set up here. But I see signs of progress defensively. Should we expect to feel the same way about Tyson Helton and this offense by season's end? Like, where should we set expectations?
Well, I mean, I think you need to see improvement, even if it's just small. I mean, if it's the status quo from season start to season's end, then that's not a very good indication of what Tyson Helton and anybody on that offensive staff is doing. And so, you're right. You know, and Jimmy Pruitt talked about it yesterday, you know, defensively, you know, if the all 11 don't execute, you can still make plays because of the nature of the defense. But offensively, you know, if you have one or two guys miss, then, you know, it can just, you know, just destroy you, you know, play in and play out. And so, you know, they've got to figure out, you know, what guys they want up front. You know, I thought that Ty Chandler, you know, got a lot of reps against Georgia. He's just got to get more touches. The touches have got to me, at least double against Auburn and going forward. He's just too dynamic with the ball in his hands. And then they've got to just figure out what they want to be. I continue to maintain that, you know, just, you know, running it the way they've been running it the last couple of games is just like, you know, beating your head into a brick wall. I mean, you just, at some point you have to try something different. And like I said, I think the quick passing game with Jerry Garantano, honestly, would, you know, you can dictate the pace of the game. Just because you go quick passing game doesn't mean you have to, you know, not run the play clock down to one or two on the clock and then control the clock. You can still control the clock from you know, that kind of playbook. So, you know, in my mind, they just got to change up their play calling a little bit, change up what they want to do, because right now this current roster is not set up to do what they want to do offensively, and that's kind of be a bully up front and get downhill and get north-south and, you know, just play behind the pads.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com with us. You can follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless. Talk some recruiting in just a moment. But, Austin, when you evaluate and look at and examine the matchup against the Auburn Tigers, where does Tennessee have an advantage?
I'll go with defensive line. You know, Auburn's offensive line has not been very good. Tennessee's defensive line, for the first time in a while, showed a pass rush at Georgia. You know, obviously got to Jake Fromm several times. So I'm going to go defensive line. Shai Tuttle and Alexis Johnson are playing really solid football right now. Darryl Taylor, can he back up his performance 2 weeks ago with another strong outing on the road down at Auburn? We'll see. I don't know if he gets three sacks, but I do think he'll play well. So I'm going to Tennessee's defensive line. You know, and I, as far as an advantage for Auburn, you know, I'll flip the script, say their defensive line, and then I think their receivers against Tennessee's secondary, beat-up secondary, could be an advantage for Auburn.
Aside from Garantano, who we know has been banged up and taken some licks, is there a player that stands out to you as really benefiting from the week off and when it happened?
Well, you know, Micah Abernathy has been hampered with an ankle, and he should be able to go Saturday, but, you know, had the game been last Saturday, I don't think Micah plays. So, you know, I'll go Micah Abernathy on the defensive side of the ball for Tennessee. And then I think Trey Smith. You know, Trey has been, you know, playing a different position, and I know he played it a handful of games last year, but, he did not play, you know, all spring and all summer, and then, you know, finally, you know, got cleared and started practice the 20th of August. And so, you know, he's less than 2 months into kind of being back. And so he's had a little bit of a knee issue, nothing that's hampered him majorly, but it's hampered him a little. So I think the week off for Trey Smith was a real positive.
I know you mentioned a couple minutes ago about the offensive line as a whole. Is there anything they can do with personnel changes up front on the O-line to give their best players the best chance to be consistent and effective, or are they already doing that?
Well, you know, they've tweaked a few things. I mean, Jerome Carvin, you know, has been running second-team center with Riley Locklear out, which has pushed Nathan Niehaus from tackle to guard. They've had him working right guard all week. I still think Carvin's the starting guard. But I do think that Niehaus can present some quality things because he is a little bit longer than Carvin, you know, on the inside. Pruitt talked about it yesterday. They didn't want to go as far as to say they were going to make the move to put Niehaus as the starter at guard, but did say that Niehaus does some nice things there. And so, you know, I think they're looking at things, but I think it's hard for them to make a wholesale change and try to flip the script. I mean, I personally would love to see them just flip Drew Richmond back to the left side or play Niehaus at left tackle and move Trey Smith to left guard. I just think Trey's much more comfortable at guard than he is at tackle. And, you know, him being a fraction banged up, it probably allows him to, you know, it probably masks that a little bit on the interior where, you know, being really quick off the edge isn't something you have to deal with because you're on the inside.
Austin Price is with VolQuest.com, also covers recruiting there for the site. Tell us the approach to recruiting throughout the bye week for this Tennessee staff.
Well, Tennessee staff, they were out and about, you know, in a major way last Friday. A lot of coaches in the state of Georgia. Jeremy Pruitt was out a good portion of the week last week doing recruiting. And, you know, right now they're trying to, you know, figure out where they are with this 2019 class, kind of figure out where they are with the guys committed, who, you know, they may struggle to hold on to, who maybe they can flip that's committed elsewhere. And so when you looked at, you know, the guys that they're trying to flip, whether that's, you know, Kenyatta Watson or Javonte Payton, right on down the line to Bill Norton and Maurice Hampton, you know, Tennessee staff just trying to find the, you know, those 25 scholarships are like gold for Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, you can't be giving away gold. And so he has to hit on these players that he takes. And so he's trying to find the 25 that give them the best chance to a quick turnaround. Obviously, we know offensive tackle, they can keep Wanya Morris, get Darnell Wright. That goes a long way. They've got to find a pass rusher on defense, got to find guys that can get to the quarterback and playmakers just in the front seven in general. And then I think a real burner at receiver, and whether that's Jalen Ellis or Peyton or a guy like Chauffre Brown, who's out of Charlotte.
Let's go to Kevin up on line one to discuss the 2019 class at wide receiver and running back with Austin Price. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Hey, Austin, fellow Volquester here for 18 years, so I appreciate everything you guys do and everything you guys put up with. So, if you're looking at Tennessee's board, who would you say is number one on their board at wide receiver and running back, and are those guys committed somewhere else? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, and I appreciate you, Kevin. Thanks for being a member for all these years. And I'll put up with you, Kevin, because you're a good guy to put up with. Wide receiver, I'll say Javonte Payton. I think he's the top guy on the board. Maybe running a close second would be Jalen Ellis. And Ellis will be here officially for the Alabama game. I'll have a story coming up on him tomorrow on VolQuest. Spoke with him, you know, over the weekend. And then, you know, at running back, you know, I think Eric Gray, because I think ultimately Tennessee has some bigger backs that they feel comfortable about. They like Jeremy Banks. And I think that when Jeremy Pruitt got here, he looked at his team and said, I've got to get bigger. I've got, you know, where's the beef? I've got to get bigger across the board at all positions. And because he thought he had some small guys that could run. And then I think when he got about 3 or 4 games into the season, I think he looked around and said, you know, we only need to get bigger. We got to get faster. We don't have enough team speed. And so I think that that's where Eric Gray comes in. I think that's where, you know, them wanting to go with a burner at wide receiver, you know, comes in as well. So, I think that ultimately Javonte Payton and Jalen Ellis are kind of the top two at receiver. And then at tailback, I'm going Eric Gray just because his ability to make plays and his ability to be dynamic. I mean, he can make guys miss. You know, Tennessee's got Aaron Beasley, who could play defense or play offense, wherever they want to put him at, committed right now. I'm going Eric Gray.
You bring him up, and that was a player that we talked about last week, Austin, as a guy who they weren't really in on initially, and now they are. But I'm curious from the player's perspective, whenever you make these calls and you're like, okay, Tennessee's in on this guy now, and they weren't just a month ago, for instance, what's the player's reaction, and what's the approach from the staff and how they go about giving that interest without making it sound like they slighted them to begin with? Does that make sense?
Well, I think that with Jeremy Pruitt, he's just very transparent. I mean, I think Jeremy Pruitt would be very blunt with a guy like Eric Gray. I always liked your game, but what I thought we needed was this, and I was wrong. We need actually a player like you. We don't have a player like you outside of Ty Chandler. You know, now Ty Chandler will be going into year 3 next year. So I just think that Jeremy Pruitt, that's where like his transparency and his just kind of bluntly honest approach, Jonathan, really pays dividends with recruits, because I think recruits respect that. I mean, like, so many coaches will be like, yeah, you can wear number 14 and you're going to start from day number one. And then when they get there, they're wearing number 21 and, you know,
they're red shirt. Yeah, they're first.
So I think that – you know, Jeremy Pruitt's blunt approach, you know, while, you know, it may not be for everybody, it does resonate with a lot of kids, because a lot of kids get tired of hearing what they want to hear. and they kind of like to hear, you know, he likes my game, but he says I'm really kind of, you know, not very fast my first 5 yards. So I'm going to work on that, you know. And kids do that, and kids gravitate towards somebody who's just kind of real with them. You talk to Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright will be quick to tell you. He likes the fact that Tennessee staff doesn't sugarcoat things. They're bluntly honest.
Is there a player on the opposite side of that that they were high on and now they're not?
You know, I don't know. I mean, there are guys that, you know, that I think that they like. I think it's the easiest way is like a guy like Trey Knox. You know, Trey Knox is a guy Tennessee's coaches really like a lot. A lot. Great player. But his game is so similar to every receiver they have now.
Yeah, they need something different.
They need that change of pace guy. I mean, that's not knocking Trey Knox. Trey Knox is a phenomenal player. So I don't think it's necessarily players that they liked and now don't like. It's just they like, but when they look at their board, you know, can Tennessee have – I mean, you know, you could argue that Tennessee doesn't need to take, you know, another defensive back. And, you know, 6 weeks ago you're talking about Jaden Hill and Devin Bush and we still talk about Maurice Hampton, and you know, you could still talk about a lot of these DBs, but, you know, you could argue right now with the fact that you've got two true freshmen starting at corner, and you've got Warren Burrell and Tyus Fields and Anthony Harris and several of these, you know, guys in this 2019 class committed, does Tennessee really need to take another DB? And 6 to 8 weeks ago, they were definitely taking another DB. I think it just always – the numbers change, the numbers dictate – what you want to do. And so I don't necessarily think it's one where they don't like a player now versus 6 weeks ago. It's just when they look at their board, they're like, we like him, but if this was another year, we probably would be really pushing hard for him. But right now, we just can't.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com, the website. Great coverage there throughout the bye week on recruiting. Great previews and podcasts available now. Looking ahead to the matchup for this Saturday's game against Auburn. Great visit, Austin. Appreciate that. And we'll catch up next week to recap it all.
Need for Reed, baby. Need for Reed.
We're going to get that going. Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys.